I'm thrilled you're here this morning. We're wrapping up a series called I Choose. Because maybe you've heard the statement before, or maybe you've lived the reality. We all do. So someone has said, our life is the sum total of our choices. And so in this series, we've been talking about choices that you can make, choices that I can make, that really create not only a better tomorrow, not only a better 5 years from now, yes, that's true, but these choices can begin to have an immediate impact in our lives. And so this morning, we're going to talk about a choice that I think a lot of us struggle with. How many of you are control freaks? Raise your hand. My hand is up. And some of you are so much of a control freak, you want to hold the hand of the person next to you up. That's just who you are. And then some of you, you're so much of a control freak, you're not raising your hand and I can't make you. There's nothing I can do to make you. We all wrestle with this in different areas. And so honestly, this morning, it's going to be kind of different a little bit maybe, because what you're going to do is you're going to observe me talking to myself, because I am the biggest control freak you have ever met. I promise you, I wig out about just about everything. It doesn't take much. We used to have a German shepherd. The lady who was training her said, you're a lot like this German shepherd. If he sees something that he thinks is out of line, he will lose his dang mind. Except she didn't say dang. I lose my mind over stuff. Now, Angie's a control freak about decorating. Like, she has a way she wants things done. They have to be done a certain way. The Pharisees had 613 laws. Angie has more when it comes to decorating. There are things that have to be done a certain way. That's her issue. My issue is everything else. Like, how people function, where people go, what's done in certain areas, how our kids dress, how they function. I mean, I lose my mind over stuff. I wrestle with this area. And so this morning, I want to talk about the choice to choose surrender over control. The idea of surrender is a struggle. We wrestle with this. Because even if you're a Christ follower, there are things in life that you have prayed about. There are verses that you have read. There are things that you believe it'd be great if God did this, and he probably should. And if you were God, you would. But he's not doing it on the timetable that you think he should. And so you grab control. You seize control of it. It's just what you do. Some of you, you're single, you're a lady, and you've been praying for a single Christian guy, and you want to meet that guy, but it's just kind of taken a little too long, and so you're no longer searching for a single Christian guy, you're searching for a guy. And your thinking is, I love Jesus so much, and I pray so often, I'll just change him. I'll meet him, and he'll be wonderful, and he'll start to love God, and I have the ability through my love and a little bit of Jesus to completely change him, and it's all going to be fine, and you're smoking crack. You're not going to change him. There's nothing but you've convinced yourself, because God hasn't done this thing that he's supposed to do, and time's clicking by, and you should have you a Christian man by now, and that hasn't happened, so you're just going to grab a man, and you'll make him a Christian by God. It's going to happen. Or maybe for some of you, your area where you struggle with control is finances. Listen, let's just be honest. I mean, we're in church. Let's be honest. The scriptures talk a ton about finances. In fact, Jesus had more to say about money and our possessions than he did heaven, hell, and baptism all put together. Because God knows that this is a difficult area for us. It's a highly emotional area. And so some of us, you're a follower of Christ, and you know the scriptures say the first 10% off the top belongs to the local church. It's an issue of trust. It's an issue of putting Jesus first financially. But you have so rationalized that away. You've grabbed control of that area because your finances are so messed up, you think, man, there's no way I could bring 10%. So you've done such a great job destroying that area of your life, you're going to control it even more. But you wrestle with it. You just seize control. You ignore the promises of God. You say things like, well, when I can afford it, or when things get better, or I'm not sure what they do with it anyway, or why. Why should I have to do that? Or you rationalize it away. It's a control issue. Some of you, it's not dating. It's not your finances. Some of you, you that are parents, you're those helicopter parents. You just hover over everything your kids do. You're constantly hovering. You're watching everything they do. Do you have a homework assignment? Oh, it's this. How many of you, listen, science fair project, the parents do it. I mean, we all know that. Parents do it. I hate that crap. Comes around every year. Great, I have homework this week. That's awesome. I mean, we know that's what happens. Let's be honest. But you just hover because you got to get a good grade. They got to get a good grade because you want them to graduate and you want them to move out at some point. You don't want them to live with you forever. They got to get a good grade. You're hovering. Oh, you're going to go check the mail. You're going to check your mail. Make sure you wear your bicycle helmet. Make sure you put on your elbow pad. You're not riding your bike. You're walking. But if you fall down, I want you to have a helmet on. Make sure you're safe. I mean, you wig out and worry about everything when it comes to your kids. You lose your mind. But you're pushing away the people you love the most. Because nobody wants to be married to, nobody wants to live in a house with, nobody wants to work with, nobody wants to be friends with a control freak. And in reality, you're not really controlling anything anyway. You can push aside your standards and grab this guy. You can ignore what Scripture says and manage your own finances because you think you're better at it than God. You can try to protect your kids every second of every day. You can't do any of that. Control is an illusion. And yet, we grab that. Now, I think the reason a lot of us try to control things, and I think for many of us, the areas that are specific to us that we wrestle with, that we try to control, I think for a lot of us, it comes from pain. There's something in your story and somewhere that you were hurt, and it might even come from a good place. You want to protect the people you love from experiencing that kind of pain. You want to protect yourself from ever walking through that kind of pain again. And so you grab control of things that you were never intended to control. And it's not working. It creates more anxiety. You live more stressed out. And so this morning, I want to offer you a simple choice that is very difficult. It's simple, but it's difficult. You're going to know in just a few moments. Yeah, it's probably right. That's probably true. And yet it is so difficult. But you're an above average crowd. And I believe you can make this choice. And when you do, it changes so many things about your life. There's a verse, a couple of verses in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has been called the book of wisdom. And they say this, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't leave any area out. Don't keep any area where you're not trusting God. You're trusting in yourself. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. How many of you know there are so many things in life that will happen that make no sense at all? If you were God, you would have never allowed that. If you were God, you would have intervened. If you were God, you would do it differently. Trust not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, every single way, submit to God. Some translations say acknowledge God. In the language, the word in the original language, in all your ways, submit to God, the original language, it really means to know God. And it's the same word for know that's used in earlier in Genesis when it talks about Adam knowing Eve. It speaks of a level of intimacy. Be in a place in your spiritual life where you know God on such a level. You are so connected to Him that there's a level of intimacy in your relationship that you trust in Him. Because you know Him. Now here's the awesome news. You may be going through a huge struggle. You may be wrestling with areas of your life that you're trying to control. And you think, man, I just haven't had that kind of relationship with God. Maybe you're a Christ follower, but you haven't really read the Bible much and you've prayed a few times. Or maybe you feel like your faith has grown cold and you feel like, man, knowing God. Here's the amazing thing. You can know God in a deeper way walking through the midst of the struggle. You don't have to fully prepare ahead of time. It's beneficial if you do. But you can grow your faith. Listen, there are some things, some lessons taught that only pain and failure teach you. And they can make you better. So the Scripture says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That is too finite. You and I are far too small to think that we're smarter than God. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, as much as you can lean into your faith, submit to God, know God on a deeper level, and He will make your paths straight. Because when you don't do that, you get into this cycle of control. And the cycle is the more we try to control, the more we're afraid of. And the more we're afraid of, the more we try to control. And the more we try to control, the more we're afraid of. And it is unending. It creates a cycle of fear in your life where anxiety is elevated and stress is elevated. And the more we try to control, the more we're afraid because I can't really control it. And the more we're afraid, the more we try to control. And you live in this cycle that God never intended you to live in. I think one of the best examples of control gone crazy is also in the Old Testament. The story of Abram and Sarai, who became Abraham and Sarah. Abraham had major control issues. In fact, on one occasion, he and Sarai meet these people, and he says that she's his sister, not his wife, because he's afraid of what they'll do to him, because according to him, she was beautiful, and so he didn't want anything to happen to him, so she's just my sister, no big deal. He had major control issues. I think the biggest control issue he had happens in Genesis chapter 16. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. That is significant because God had made a promise to Abram, who would become Abraham, that he would be the father of nations. And you know what happened after that promise? Nothing. Days went by, weeks went by, months went by, no kids. How do you become the father of nations with no kids? Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. God hasn't done what I think he should do in the time that I think he should do it, so I'm going to take control. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. I've always thought this was kind of fun. Like, how did that go down? "Hey, babe, my servant, I want you to go have sex with her." I mean, how does Abram respond? Like, no, I love you. Or is he like, "All right, if you want me to"? I mean, how did that? I just wonder things like that sometimes. It has nothing to do with the message. Like, what did that even look like, that conversation? How did that go? But anyway, back to the Bible because that's better. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai's wife took her Egyptian slave, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. And he slept with Hagar, and she conceived. There's a huge, huge spiritual lesson here. Don't miss this. Massive spiritual lesson. Grab your phone. Be ready to type this in. Write this down. Huge spiritual lesson. Don't ever sleep with a woman named Hagar. Don't let that happen in your life. Because things go wheels off. They seize control. Because God wasn't doing what they thought he should do when they thought he should do it, so they just take over. I'm going to grab this one area of life. I'm still going to believe in God. I'm still going to pray to God. I'm still going to try to live good. I'm still going to be good to other people. I'm just going to take control here because God's not doing this the way I think he should. And the ramifications of that one choice. Hagar has a son. His name is Ishmael. Later, Sarah does become pregnant and has Isaac. Through Ishmael, we have the Palestinian lineage. Isaac is the father of the Jewish lineage. Through Ishmael, we get Muhammad. Through Isaac, we get Jesus. And now, generations later, there is still an ongoing tension between those who are Jewish and the Palestinians. There is still this tension that is ever increasing between those who follow Muhammad and those who follow Christ. One decision to grab control in an area because I can't fully trust God right here. I can do this better. I'm going to take over. It will always blow up in your face. And you may not be in a situation where you create a lineage of generations of torment and conflict. But I've never in my life seen someone take control of an area of their life and do it differently than what God said. I have never in all of my days seen one example of that going well. And so what is it in your life? Where do you struggle with control issues? I want to encourage you today. Name what you're trying to control. Acknowledge it. Admit it. Take some responsibility. Stop blaming it on mommy and daddy and what was created in you. Own your stuff. Here's the area that I wrestle with. Here's some things I struggle with. Maybe you're an overachiever like me. I have many. Maybe in your life there are so many things that you wrestle with, so many things that you try to struggle with and you grab control of. You're kind of a control freak. If you don't know if that's you or not, today when you go to lunch, just ask your wife and kids, your friend, "Am I a control freak?" They'll tell you. Then they'll leave the table. But they will tell you. Name what you're trying to control. That's the first step. And then I want to give you three questions that you can ask that will help you choose surrender over control. That will help you know, is this an area that I'm trying to control? Is this an area that I'm doing well and surrendering? How do I do this? The first question is this. Is it worth my concern? Is it worth my concern? I want to primarily talk to parents for a few moments. Some of you are trying to control things in your home with your kids that are not going to matter at all 5 years from now. Now, let me just, if I could, because I think you've given me permission because you're here, if I could just kind of walk up in your business for just a second, and if you don't want me to, you can't control me, I'm going to do it anyway because I'm a control freak. But if I could just talk to you for a minute. Some of you, listen, the way the towels are folded is not going to matter in 5 years. I promise you. Nobody gives a flying rip whether it's like this, then like this, or just like this, and it's bigger, and it hangs off the shelf a little bit. Nobody cares. It's not going to matter. You're wearing your kids out, and they paid me to tell you that. Stop it. See, what you're doing, listen, the only thing, mom and dad, listen. The only thing you have when it comes to parenting, the only thing you really have is influence. You're not controlling anything. You have influence. And why would you be a control freak and push the people that you say you love the most away and lose influence in their lives? Stop it. Nobody cares how the towels are full. Nobody cares. If your little kid goes to school and he doesn't match and his hair isn't brushed, nobody cares. Unless it's picture day. How many of you have ever felt like the worst parents in the world? I suck. It was picture day and we messed up. He went to school like that? Have you ever felt like that? Maybe that's just me. Nobody cares in 5 years. It's not going to matter. How many things? Listen, mom, dad, when you make a big deal out of everything, then nothing's a big deal. If you're going off about everything, if you're on them all the time, if everything is a huge issue, then nothing is a huge issue, and you lose credibility, and they hit mute the minute you start talking. They don't hear you anymore. The way you chew your gum, you need to stop. You should never buy another piece of gum. The way you chew your gum is obnoxious. You need to cut that out. I don't know why you even have gum. If you buy gum again, I'm going to slap you. Who the hell made you the gum god? Like, is that really going to matter? I'm sorry, that just came out. I'm sorry. Is that really going to matter in 5 years? How you chew your gum? Stop it! The people that you say you love the most, you are pushing them away, and they don't like you anymore. And once you lose that influence, listen, I'm speaking from experience. Once you lose that influence, it is so hard to get back. I promise you. Man, pay attention because the moments pass quickly. And what will your kids remember the most when they're no longer in your home? How you got on them about every little thing all the time? Is it worth my concern? If you're gone, what's your spouse going to remember about you the most? Man, choose. Choose where you influence. Choose the things you talk about. I'm not saying don't parent. I'm just saying don't be obnoxious. Understand that they walk through that door at the end of the day just as tired as you are. Your spouse comes through that door at the end of the day just as worn out as you are. Nobody wants to do the dishes. Just buy paper plates and burn them every day. I think that's probably better. But nobody, listen, nobody feels like doing this. Have an understanding of those people. Is this really worth my concern? And there may be some things that you're trying to control that you just need to surrender because they're just not that big a deal. Second question, is it mine to control? Is it mine to control? Because when I talk about surrender, listen, I'm not saying relinquish responsibility. There are some things that you're supposed to do. There are some areas you're supposed to take action. If you're just sitting back saying, well, I blew up my finances and I'm just going to surrender and I'm just going to let God, I'm going to wait for God to just bail me out. No. Spend less than you make. It's not complicated. Put God first financially, even when it's tough, and he will be faithful, and he can do far more with your 90% than you can do 100. You've proven that. So yes, there are some areas where you need to take responsibility. There might be some things that it is your responsibility to control or to take action. This is not relinquishing responsibility. Well, I'm single. I'm a guy. I've been single a long time. Hoping I meet somebody. Hey, stop playing Pokemon Go so much. Brush your hair. Move out of your mother's house. Get a dang job, and you might meet somebody. It might happen. So there are some areas. Pokemon Go is the stupidest. I don't even understand that. I don't get it. I'm sorry, I don't get it. Some people I love dearly get it and enjoy it, so I drive really, really slow when I'm told to. So understand, is this something I need to surrender to God? Or are there some things that any reasonable person would understand? Are there some things that Scripture clearly says, you need to do something right here? Take responsibility for your life and follow God and do the things. You will never mess up when you say yes to what God asks you to do. Never, never, never. So is it mine to control? Some things you can take responsibility. You don't relinquish responsibility. But in the areas where you can't, last question, is it for God alone? And here's what I mean by that. Is this something that only God can handle? Is this something that only God can take care of? If it's for God alone, surrender. Your marriage is in trouble. There's been a lot of conflict. Because of that, the fear level has gone up. It's coming from a good motivation. You want the marriage to work out, but you've become more controlling, and you try to control the conversations, and you try to control what takes place, and you're always thinking, and you're trying to control. You can't control your spouse. You can have control or intimacy, but you will not have both. You can't control your spouse, so stop trying to. You can't change your spouse. I've never met any human being that could change another human being. It will not happen. So stop spending so much energy on a futile exercise. It will never happen. It will only create more anxiety, more stress, and it will not work. When you try to control someone, they don't want to be around you. So surrender your spouse, because while you can't change them, well, man, I'm trying to do everything I can. I'm seeking God. I want to honor God in our marriage with our family and my spouse. They're just wheels off. They don't want this anymore. They're not following Scripture. Hey, only God can change them. So God, this is one of those things. It's for you alone. I'm not going to try to control them. I'm going to talk to you about me and ask you what you can do in my life, and I'm going to talk to you about them, and God, it's up to you. Your kids, you can't control your kids. You think you can, but you can't. Your kids are going to make their choices, and hopefully you navigate life in such a way as a parent that you've maintained a level of influence that they will listen. But they will make some mistakes just like you and I did, just like you and I do. Live in a way where you understand they're God's. So I want to live in a way where I don't badger them, and I keep some influence in their life. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I take great comfort in the fact that God loves my kids far more than I do, and I know how much I love them. So this is for God alone. God, I can speak into their lives. I can influence them. And obviously, that changes as they grow older in how you do that. But only God can change them. Is it worth my concern? Do you even need to be fooling with this? Is it mine to control? Are there some things you need to do? Or is it for God alone? Are there some areas you need to surrender? Paul was locked up. He was in prison. He was in chains. And he writes this passage, this letter to the church at Philippi. He writes, "Do not be anxious about anything." When you're a control freak, you're constantly anxious. He says, here's the way you handle it. Here's how you surrender. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, even when it feels like God's not doing what he should, even when it feels like God's late to the party, even when it feels like you would do it differently and you know better, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition. Petition means, it's another word for request. By prayer. Have you ever heard someone say, "We've done all we can do. I guess all we can do now is pray"? Have you ever heard that? I think that's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. All we can do now is pray, like God's in heaven thinking, you're screwed. If you're counting on me and I'm your last resort, oh well. I mean, really? All we can do is pray? Are you kidding me? all we can do is pray? Listen, you have been invited by a holy God to approach his throne with boldness, and he wants to hear any request you have. You've been invited because you are deeply loved. Prayer is not our last resort. It's the first thing we should do. And Paul is saying, listen, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer. Don't wait until you've controlled it and you've tried and you've manipulated and it hasn't worked. Surrender by prayer. Bring it to him and petition with thanksgiving. What am I supposed to be thankful for? It's not worked out yet. What am I supposed to be thankful for? God hasn't fixed it yet. Be thankful that you have a God who loves you more than you could ever understand. Be thankful that you and I have the ability to approach that God. We've been invited to talk to him. Be thankful that he is a great big God and he sees from a perspective that you and I never could because he's God and we're not. I am so glad that our God is not so small that I can figure him out. Be thankful that God is in control and that it's going to be okay just because of that. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. And when you function like this and when you surrender instead of trying to control, here's what happens. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, that means it is deeper than you and I have the ability to comprehend. That means it makes no sense to the human mind. It's something that goes deeper. It's something that's spread wider. It's something that's all-encompassing. It's something that on your worst day, in your worst moment, living in the midst of your deepest pain, you can have this kind of peace. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts. Your heart won't race, and you won't panic, and your mind will be quiet and at peace, because in the face of things you should be afraid of, you're in Christ Jesus. You've surrendered it to him. Nothing creates greater anxiety in your life than trying to control what you can't control. Nothing. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to God. Know God on a deeper level. Connect with him. In those moments where you want to seize control, choose surrender and watch how God works and learn more about him in those moments. And he will make your paths straight. Moms and dads, this is huge. Because you and I leave a legacy for our kids. And you teach them how to view God, how to view life. Even in those moments when they struggle with you, even in those seasons where it's like, man, we're not getting along, and I don't know if we'll ever pull out of this, and I don't know how to navigate this. They're always learning from you. One of the greatest gifts that you can give your kids is to show them what surrender looks like. I'm learning this kind of in a fresh way. Because I told you I'm a control freak, and one of the things that I just kind of wig out about, if you open the front door to our home, there's a wall there beside the stairs, and every day, I promise you, there are 8,432 pair of shoes. I don't know where they come from. I don't understand why it's that difficult. You take your shoes off, you take them to your freaking room. I don't understand why they build up there. I don't know if they're just having babies together. I don't know what's happening with the shoes, but we have a ton of shoes lined up along the wall by the front door. And so constantly, control freak. They walk in the door from practice or school. They're worn out. Hey, get your dang shoes and take them upstairs. I've told you 1,000 times, get them upstairs. I shouldn't have to repeat myself. I hate repeating myself. You know that. Get your shoes up. This past week, we have 2 daughters and 2 sons. We dropped off our oldest son in Dallas for his first year of college. He picked Dallas. It's over 1,100 miles away. Yesterday, he was this big. Now, you want to put a control freak in a scenario where they have to see a psychologist and psychiatrist, have them drop off their kid 1,100 miles away. I'm so proud of him, and it's awesome. It's the way it should be. I'm so proud of him. But that's a long way away. We got back. Just got back a couple of days ago, and I was thinking about this yesterday. what I wouldn't give to open that front door and see 5 or 6 or 10 of his pairs of shoes. Because I miss him. It's all good, but I miss him. Hey, mom and dad, it's going to go like that. Build bridges into their lives. Make your influence greater because of how you love them. If you control them and badger them, you'll push them away. I'm not saying don't be a parent. You will say no to some things. Be a parent, but choose wisely. And focus more on building influence and loving them and allowing God to shape them, because they're not yours, they're his, than controlling them. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for the reality of your love. God, we all struggle with control because we all have areas that we feel like you're just not doing it right, or you're not doing it fast enough. But ultimately, we have to recognize that you're God. And if you love us so much that you gave your son for us, you're not going to create a less than life that we have to struggle through. You want the best for us. And so while there will be struggle and there will be difficult days, God, help us to realize and understand and function in the reality that the way we make it through that and the way we have peace in those moments is through surrender, not control. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here this morning and you know that the next step in your spiritual journey, you know that what you need to do is you need to surrender your life to Christ. You've never made that commitment to commit everything you know about you to everything you know about God. And you recognize for you the big deal, that what today was created for, that this is your day to become a Christ follower, to surrender your life to a God who loves you deeply and unconditionally, who created you and has an amazing life in mind for you. A God who likes you, loves you, and wants to know you personally. If that's where you are today, man, I need to surrender my life to Christ. I want to begin a personal, intimate relationship with God. I want to encourage you to pray a very simple prayer. You can pray it out loud, but you don't have to. You can pray it in the quietness of your heart. You just, right in your seat, right where you are, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you just say, "Dear God, I know that I need you. Jesus, please come into my life. As best I know how, I commit my life to you. I surrender my life to you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Please help me to live for you. In Christ's name, amen."